Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Along my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman live. Can you hear me, everybody? All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry for the little tidbit. For some reason, the checkbox got unchecked. I started, the world was all great, but not for y'all because nobody could hear me. Sorry about that. Welcome to the broadcast. On the road always brings unique challenges, to say the least. But have no fear, we're ready to go. It is July the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Now, the best part is when we're on the road, the broadcasts we're still able to put together regardless of some challenging circumstances. You know, when you're on the road, it's kind of interesting. You end up at a place you think you're going to have great connectivity, and lo and behold, no connectivity, etc., etc. It goes on and on. But, man, we just adapt and adjust and do the very best we can on a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. In a quick recap of yesterday's show, we talked about Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis. Ben Carson, believe it or not, lays it out for 2024, says that Donald Trump will probably be the nominee for the Republican Party, and that Ron DeSantis will probably wait and be polite in the good old boy network, and he'll take the stage in 2028, and probably Ron DeSantis will be elected for 8 years then. I appreciate that optimism from Ben Carson, but I don't really believe that we're going to have Donald Trump for 4 years in 2024. Then we're going to have Ron DeSantis for 8 years in 2028, taking us to what, 2036, right? I don't really know that from 2024 to 2036 we're going to have Republicans in office. I wish it were so, but it seems that our society continues to vote Democrat, even though every time we do, we get absolutely beat up and destroyed. It's just amazing. But they say the midterm elections, that's 2022, coming up just in what, 18 months or something? They say it'll produce a political ad spending total of $8.4 billion. Wow, that's close to 2020's $9 billion price tag. We're talking about big money, folks, for the elections. The 2022 elections, normally the midterms aren't really that critical. But in this case, because the Democrats have ran things off the rails, because the Republicans want to take things back so badly, it's been an epic battle indeed. Now, I don't really think the Republicans will solve a whole lot. They claim to solve things. They sound better. But remember, it's Republicans that sided with the Democrats that just passed the latest gun control measures, right? It's Republicans that promised us they'd get rid of Obamacare only to vote on it, what, 40 times when they did not have control? And then when they got control, they failed us. It was the Republicans that promised they'd lock Hillary up, right? It was the Republicans, the Republicans, the Republicans. And so I can go on and on about this, but they don't have a great track record. They have a great track record of betraying us and pretending to get something done or to stand for what is right. But when the real issue comes, I don't see a whole lot. We also had our guest on, Wendy Kinney, founder and CEO of Revere Payments. ReverePayments.com is the website. Freedom to do business, she says. Cancel culture has no place here. No one should have to sacrifice their First Amendment rights for fear that the payment processors will shut you down and you won't be able to run your business. Not here. not on her watch. She says, we hope that you will spread the word about a world-class payment provider that'll support your ability to think as you will and allow you to do your run your business as you think best. Of course, they won't support anything illegal or anything like that, but if you have a difference of opinion, et cetera, they will back your play. Check it out, reverepayments.com. That was hour one of the broadcast. Great interview with Wendy. Her history as an attorney, her history with multi-level marketing companies, something that's quite impressive. Hopefully she'll have the mojo to stick with our people and stand up for what is right in a meaningful way. That was hour one. Hour two, we had James Edwards with us, and we talked about race, politics, religion, and a whole lot more. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his award-winning website. And we talked about New et Sovereign, Ben Swan's Truth in Media. Facebook turns out to be full of CIA agents deciding content policy. So when you get shut down on Facebook, when you get marginalized or they restrict everything you do, know that it's the CIA and the FBI and the Department of Defense all at the helm. Incredible documentation, Operation Mockingbird on steroids. I don't know what else to call it. Just insane. Also, Trump says he's going to sue CNN over repeatedly defamatory statements. Will Trump really sue? Does Trump really have the mojo, ladies and gentlemen, to sue CNN? You know, we hear Trump complaining about libel laws and slander laws when he was president. Of course, he did nothing, right? It reminds me of Trump saying on the campaign trail, lock her up, meaning Hillary. She's an evil, nasty woman. And then when he gets in office, he says, oh, leave Hillary alone. Same thing with George Soros. We know he's been funding the opposition and funding the communist and the socialist agenda. That's my opinion, to which I'm entitled, for quite some time. But yet, you know what? When George gets brought up to Donald, Donald says, leave George alone. Well, it turns out George funded hotels for Donald. So there you go. They're good friends as well. So, you know, when it comes down to it, we were told that we're going to get to the bottom of Barack Obama's birth certificate. Was it forged? To Arpaio and his investigative team, absolutely confirms yes. Forensic documentation to that fact. Donald asking about the birth certificate as well. But when it comes down to it, Donald didn't look into the birth certificate at all. He just jettisoned that discussion. So there's a lot of things left on the table that we really got to kind of wonder about. If Trump takes office, again, will we see a sea change? We're hearing that if Donald Trump takes office in 2024, that he'll be ruthless in getting rid of bad actors, getting rid of deep state operatives, gutting whole sections of the government to truly bring back freedom. Will Donald really do it, or is that all talk like lock her up? Is that all talk like we're going to get to the bottom of the libel and slander laws? Several of us have sued James Edwards, guest yesterday, second hour, one of them, to try to have accountability for their misstatements and dishonesty, publishing of fake news and more. But yet the court's just siding against us. Never mind the facts, never mind the truth. They literally said James Edwards was a leader and a member of the KKK. Neither are true. But then even though it came out in court saying, well, we know it's not true, they just simply said it's Aesop's fables. It's the company he keeps that's the problem. Guilty as charged. Wow. So it goes on and on. I mean, these things are just beyond imagination. You can't make this stuff up. It's crazy. But that's what we're seeing. Did Donald just underestimate the deep state the first time? But going forward, he knows better and he's got their number. Do you believe that? See, I don't. I don't believe that at all. So, time will really tell what's going to happen with all that. But I don't know that Donald Trump is your savior for 2024. I'll tell you that right now. I didn't vote for Donald either time, and I will not vote for him in 2024. To me, Donald's a great guy in many ways. He's done a lot of good, but he's also caused a lot of harm, sadly so. The vaccine fiasco is the biggest one I can think of. I mean, think about it. This guy literally put vaccines on Operation Warp Speed, and then the government literally backed vaccine us all and almost forced all of us to be vaccinated. Of course, a few people stood up, and good for them for doing so, right? But wow, shame on the Donald for that. So I'm not here just to attack Donald. He's done a lot of good as well, okay? And one of the judges Donald Trump put in place, His name is U.S. District Judge Matthew McFarland. And he was a Trump appointee, by the way. He orders the Air Force officials on July 27th. So just yesterday, I think it is, or no, 2 days ago. Not, I repeat, not to punish members of the military seeking, or I should say the Air Force, right? Seeking religious exemptions to the COVID-19 vaccine mandates. TheEpicTimes.com with that story. So you got a judge appointed by Donald Trump that says, no, we're not going to do forced vaccinations. So Donald's got an interesting track record. I commend the judge that he appointed. I commend him for appointing the judge. I commend the judge for standing up for truth and religious liberty and freedom. At the same time, Donald's the one that fast-tracked, or Operation Warp Speed, these vaccines in the first place. So it's very, very strange, but I commend this judge. It's a huge win for those in the military. The sad part is the win comes after 97%+ of the Air Force or the military already vaccinated, already took the first round of the vaccines. Now, many of the military not taking the second round, the booster, the second booster, etc. So that's good news. But wow, boy, howdy, is it kind of rough, right? A day late and a dollar short, but a judge got it right. That's the good news. Quick pause. I got an interesting interview coming up about election fraud. We'll do it all in seconds with a guest named Roger Fuller on your radio.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present day church. Rather, it is for the end time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always as I'm on the road. Hopefully the audio is coming through just fine. A little bit of craziness with difficult internet connections, etc. So I've got an incredible interview that I did at the Freedom Fest. Roger Fuller is the gentleman's name. Who is he? He's an election fraud data analyst. And you got to ask yourself, are you familiar with the Edison system? And you got to ask yourself, how do we beat the rig as we listen to this wide-ranging interview with Roger Fuller? It starts now. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live from Freedom Fest 2022. Having a fantastic time. Hoping you are as well. Many people came to the event, but a lot of people are listening on the radio. You know, people around the country just don't like to make it to Vegas country sometimes. Nevertheless, we are enjoying ourselves. And one gentleman who is here with us is Roger Fuller. He doesn't represent any organization, just himself. But he does have a history of understanding election fraud. He's kind of become a data analyst of sorts. And he's kind of been drilling into election fraud, and he's got a lot of data to share with us. Roger, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, tell me how you got into this thing, first of all. First off, who are you, and then how did you get into this?
Well, I'm just a retired guy. I had a career in Silicon Valley designing microchips, and when I saw what happened on election night, I just started watching everything that was going by, and it was pretty apparent right away that a lot of funny business had gone on with the way they called Arizona so quickly. It didn't make any sense to me. And then the way that Trump was leading everyone in all those six battleground states, Trump was leading by big margins, and then we see Pennsylvania take 3 days to eat away at that margin and eventually flip it. It's like 800,000 vote lead that they got eaten away. After he'd been doing all those rallies up there, you had 50,000-100,000 people showing up at these rallies in Erie, Pennsylvania. And how could he lose that election? It just never made any sense to me.
Well, you got to discuss it very gingerly. And the reason why is because they say we're all nuts, we're all crazy. They say anytime we bring evidence forward, they claim it's debunked. So they always use this term, without evidence. Donald Trump says this, and Mike Lindell says that, and so on and so on and so on. Let me ask you, as a data analyst, it seems to me that, you know what? There might be a lot of information that's not accurate. There might be a lot of information that's not as provable as others. And so for 2 years, people have been battling this. Everybody kind of seems to have their own take. Right? 2000 Mules says, hey, you know what? You had ballot stuffing via these boxes, and we caught mules via cell phone data along with video evidence that kind of corroborates the assumptions. And we've taken painstaking data points to ensure that the data we have does point to fraud, or at least beyond probable cause evidence and stuff like that. Pretty hard to deny when you see people on the screens literally stuffing ballots, taking photos of the ballots they stuff, and then you have people testifying that they paid them. You know, there's enough dots connected to really bring concern. But you know what? That came out 2 years after. Mike Lindell, Donald Trump making the claims, people going to court, Sidney Powell. Anyway, I don't mean to talk forever, but I want to highlight, it's all over the map, Roger.
Well, it's not 2 years later. I saw things in the first couple of weeks after the election that really kind of, you know, blew my mind. There's a system for reporting election data on election night. It's called the Edison system, and it's a way for the local they collect all the data from the elections as as soon as the polls close. And they transmit it to the New York Times first, and then it becomes available for everybody to look at. So the way this Edison data works...
So it runs... Hold on. It runs through the New York Times?
Yes. Yes. But the company is called Edison.
Yes.
I don't know that many details about it beyond the way they report is that they report an accumulating total. So you see, it starts at zero, and then
It's kind of like a GoFundMe counter.
Yeah, as the ballots come in, the total increases, and so basically, if you look at the latest total and you subtract the previous total, you get the number of ballots that came in during that time frame, and they're all time stamped, and so I managed to get this downloaded from the internet probably within a day or two of the election, and started analyzing it. It's not easy to analyze because...
So hold on, let me back you up. How do you get this data, though? The New York Times kind of runs through it.
Yeah, it's on the website.
Everybody can just see it on the website.
Yeah, and there's a couple of groups. There's a group called Ordros, which is Draza Smith, and they did a lot of this, and where they captured it. And they've just done a lot of it in all these... the recent primaries, because the primaries are all reported the same way too. So what you get is really you get a number of ballots in a time window, as they're counting them, as they're counting them. So this is real-time data, and it's data. You know, the real data.
So you got a start mark and an end mark for the data, is your point.
Yeah. And so
now we're analyzing a data based on time in the middle of this.
Yeah. And so looking at the stuff that came in from Michigan, for example, at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, whatever it was, when they had stopped counting, supposedly, you see this big batch of ballots come in of 149,000 ballots come flying in, and in a period of 20 minutes. And so we know now that they had 12 machines that could count 3,000 an hour. So that means that they could count 36,000 in an hour, and they get a batch of 149,000 in 20 minutes while counting was
stopped.
Yeah,
but I also don't understand, though. No offense, but counting 36,000 an hour is nothing.
No, but that's when you have to count, that's all they could do. Those physical machines are only capable of doing it. That's what they had there in that counting center.
Yeah.
So they're running these machines 24/7 for several days to get the millions of ballots counted. That's true, but you see, usually when in the old days you had an election and it was all distributed in the precincts. Each precinct had its own machine. You'd only be counting a few thousand. You'd be counting them during the election. So with all these mail ballots coming in, they all came into the same place, and you have to count them all in the one place. But these numbers were coming from that place because this is after election day is over, and so they all were coming from the Detroit Counting Center. 12 machines, 36,000 ballots an hour at full speed. Okay? And then they said, we're stopped counting. And during the period when they had stopped counting, we get batches reported on the Edison system. Batches that are too big for them to count on those machines in the time period that they show. This is the data. The data doesn't lie. This is what was reported. So then... Similarly, in California...
Yes, yeah, so hold on. Before you go on, just to make it clear for everybody. So you're simply saying, hey, how can we have more ballots hit the system than we can count?
Because they had already preloaded the machines with them.
Okay. Yeah, so now what you need is subpoena evidence to prove that, right?
But no judge will give you the warrant to do that.
So what do we do now?
Because, it's not... There's no, to get a warrant to do that. And also the election officials are kind of, maybe they're in on it, right? So maybe they're not going to want their friend, the judge, to give an injunction or a reason for them to look at it. Okay. So this came in within a few days of the election.
Yes.
Okay. And right after the election, I think the day after the election, Michelle Malkin did a video, and she had a gentleman on there who had been in the counting center, had been ejected from the counting center when the counting stopped because he was a Republican observer, and they threw them all out. And while they had seen stuff going on inside the counting center that he described, and then other people had seen a truck pull up into the loading bay. And they were handing back and forth memory sticks, and they took boxes of ballots out of this truck and put them on a cart and brought them in. So there was all kinds of things, and in Michigan there, the polls close, you can't accept any more ballots. So this truck came in the middle of the night, 3 a.m, when counting was stopped, and they unloaded ballots from it. So these things were happening right away.
Yes, we've known these things from the start.
Okay, and then but in November and December we saw a lot more. We saw the ballot, suitcases full of ballots coming out from a table.
Yes. All right. Gentlemen, quick pause. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
He USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As many Americans have a justifiable concern about the recession facing us, President Biden, reading from a cue card, says we're not in a recession.
Both Chairman Powell and many of the significant banking personnel and economists say we're not in a recession.
This has declining GDP for 2022 so far, inflation at 9.1%, and 3 months of declining consumer confidence. We'll have the American people deciding if this is a recession. July 2022 Consumer Price Index data is scheduled to be released on August 10th. House lawmakers are preparing to return to Congress and spend more the week of August 8th. They will vote on the Senate's $740 billion climate agenda and self-proclaimed deficit reduction package. USA Radio News.
Wendy Bell here for my friends at Swiss America. Did you know the U.S. Constitution authorizes only two forms of legitimate money, gold and silver? That's right. But our government abandoned gold and silver a half century ago. Meanwhile, gold and silver prices have rocketed in recent years due to growing economic uncertainty. So, to help my listeners, Swiss America has a very special offer today. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars at the amazingly low price of $12.50 each delivered. You heard me right, $12.50. Call now to reserve your silver coins at 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars for just $12.50 each delivered while supplies last. Put a silver lining in your financial portfolio now by calling 800-630-1490. 800-630-1490.
Illegal immigrant Harrison Fuentes, accused of raping a 10-year-old girl from Ohio, is being held without bond. On Thursday, prosecutors said the girl confirmed her attacker, and DNA testing proved law enforcement has their guy. Franklin County Judge Julie Lynch at the bond hearing Thursday.
This man lived in the home with this child. To allow him to return to that home, the traumatic and psychological impact would be undeserving to an alleged victim.
The White House reported President Biden spoke with Chinese President Xi Jinping Thursday morning. The two spoke for about 2 hours and 20 minutes. Ian Chong from the National University of Singapore on Germany's public broadcast service.
On the Xi side, it's not that he's going for election. I think it's pretty clear he has his third term. It's about him being able to push his agenda through, being able to put his key allies into important positions.
USA Radio News.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. The Roger Fuller interview continues now on Liberty Roundtable Live.
November and December, we saw a lot more. We saw the ballot, you know, suitcases full of ballots coming out from a table.
Yes.
We see that on the security cameras, we see these election people, election workers, say, oh, we're going to stop counting now. They make everybody leave. They make all the observers leave. And it's kind of like they should be leaving, too. And then they start looking around, make sure there's nobody watching. And out come the ballots from under the table. And they take them over to the counting machines. And a woman puts them through the counting machines 10 times, 5, 6, 7, 10 times. The same batches of ballots go through the machines 5 or 10 times. The other thing about those in particular was they were in that suitcase. They had never been folded. They were counting them as mail ballots. They'd never been folded.
So if you means they've never been sent.
Which means they were never really mail ballots.
Right.
That they're either counterfeits or they're something else about them, you know?
No, I get it. So this is what I mean, though. You've got an example, great information, factual-based evidence that's duplicatable, that's provable, that's documentable, that's testifiable, that's all these things, but we're 2 years later.
Well,
what are we
doing? Now we are. Well, the one I want to tell you about first, though, is that the Edison data on California. Right away, this is days after the election. If you look at the data coming to the New York Times from California, there's a couple of situations where you see a batch of one ballot. Okay? And the way they report this is they report the batch and they report the percentage for Biden and the percentage for Trump in the batch. there's a batch of one ballot, and it's reported as 0.65, 0.35.
Yeah, in other words, they're doing fractional balloting now.
Fractional ballots. Okay, and the machines are entirely capable of doing fractional ballots.
Which alone should be criminal, because there's no such thing as a fractional ballot.
And this was a feature that was put in at the request of Hugo Chavez when they originally put together this software back in the early 2000s.
Yes, and this is where a lot of Sidney Powell's evidence comes in.
Yes.
I'm familiar with this.
And none of it has... There was only in the whole situation up till and beyond January 6th, there was only one situation in 87 or 89 cases on election fraud where evidence was actually presented to a court. It was in Nevada. It was in Carson City on December 3rd. And the evidence that was presented was that there were more than 40,000 people who voted twice in Nevada. And there was a whole bunch more that had voted twice in Nevada and also in California. Because one thing we found out eventually by looking into it is that for instance, California, you can go to California today and register to vote today. And you can't vote in an election within 15 days, but you can go to California today and register to vote. And then you'll get a mail ballot. Then you'll get a mail ballot for the next election. Okay, so to register to vote, you have to put down an address and things like that. But, you get an Airbnb or something like that, and you put down that address and go pick up your mail ballot later and go vote. And this is one thing they did in Georgia. Again, this is in 2020. Was the Georgia, they had this runoff election. That was on January 5th, the day before January 6th. And Stacey Abrams there was encouraging people to come to Georgia for a weekend, register to vote, so that you could vote in this runoff election. Now, in Georgia, the runoff election is a continuation and an extension of the general election. The law says you have to be registered for the general election to be able to vote in the runoff. So why is Stacey Abrams telling people to come and register for the runoff who aren't registered before? So I called, and then they actually did get 70,000 people registered for the runoff election, and that was more than the difference as well. But those registrations, I see those as being something really bad, because the people that processed those registrations in the registrar's office, they knew they shouldn't be doing this, and they did this anyway. I call this administrative voter registration fraud, because the administrators, the people working in the registrar's office, are doing it.
All right. The information's there. The allegations are made. The evidence is duplicatable, verifiable, etc. But Roger, and this is the problem that we're all having, from Mike Lindell to your information to Catherine Engelbrecht's information to Greg's data analysis to right on through, on and on and on. We're 2 years later, and we haven't been able to really move the needle. We've got a few arrests. But people like Tina Peters who have stood up and proved a lot of stuff as well. People like Catherine Engelbrecht. Like Greg Phillips, all of us are being attacked. Many people are being thrown in jail. People's lives and reputations and professional careers are being ruined. We're 2 years later, besides the sheriff's investigations that we have going on, I don't know that we've moved enough of the needle.
We haven't. Well, I think that a lot of the people in our population have woken up to this and realize.
Which is good.
I think we have like 70% of the population now clearly understands
and aware,
but the situation is that our elected officials, most of our law enforcement officials, again, our constitutional sheriffs and peace officers association, they're doing wonderful things. They've got it straight that the sheriffs are the only answer now. I mean, I'll go over my thing about how do we beat the rig, because the Our elected officials are not going to fix this stuff. They've demonstrated they're not going to fix it. They're not going to make any changes.
In fact, not only are they going to fix it, they're going to stand in the way and run counterintelligence right. and attacks on those who are trying to fix it. So they're not only not willing to help, but they're willing to be more than a hindrance, right? Yeah, they're willing to use their positions
right.
as the deep state to stop us from getting this corrected.
They're running the next rig. Okay, so the way I've gone is... That we're left, it's really we the people that have to solve this problem. And the only chance we have, I think, and it may only be a chance, is to do what I call beat the rig. And what all of those of us who do this analysis kind of stuff and look at how these things are done, what is the way they do it is they with early voting and mail-in voting, they get a lot of the votes in before Election Day. Or they got even in states where they can't open the envelopes.
Yeah, that's why they say vote early, vote often, right?
Yes, but that's how they've made it so easy to get red. First thing is they stuffed the registration rolls, so they've got plenty of ballots out there. But when you vote early, you're telling them you voted. You know, they know you voted now. And what's more important, I think, is that by Election Day, they know who hasn't voted. So you get to Election Day, and now they know exactly what they have to do, how many votes they have to destroy or create to get their desired outcome. And so the only chance we have is we the people have to vote like we used to have to vote, where it's one day.
Yeah, one day on site, face to face, paper ballots,
ballpoint pen. Ballpoint pens, very important aspect to this. Okay, so the answer is to say in California or other states where they mail a mail ballot to everybody. Make sure you get your mail ballot, because if you don't get it, somebody snatched it. If you get more than one, it's evidence. Keep them both. They're like gold. In any case, take your mail ballot with you when you go vote on Election Day and take a ballpoint pen. And now have your mail ballot in your pocket. And if they tell you you've already voted, you bring it out and you show them, no, I haven't voted. Here's my mail ballot. I'm calling the sheriff. Because either somebody's stolen my identity or you're trying to disenfranchise me. I'm calling the sheriff. And hopefully you got a constitutional sheriff in your county. And they'll do something about it. Okay, so this is the only possible way we can do it is by taking it back and voting like we used to have to vote, where it's all on one day on a paper ballot with a ballpoint pen. Okay,
and I personally think what we need is we need surveillance video, we need a wide-angle camera on the room, we need a top-down view of it so that we can do an instant replay. What we need is ballot counters and ballot observers all swearing to the vote total under the penalty of perjury. That's my proposal.
Yes, but you still if you're counting them on machines, you slip your ballot into the machines. The other aspect is take a picture of your ballot to show how you voted, remind yourself how you voted. And but you know, still there's still some holes in this. It's not perfect. Like in Illinois, they have everybody voting on these machines that have no paper ballot.
Yes, it's just touchscreen stuff.
But in Illinois, you can request a paper ballot, and they have to give it to you. So we had in Illinois, they had several problems where there were these big voting centers, and they ran out of paper ballots. They didn't have any ballots when the people got there to vote, so you had to vote on a machine. And you know, that's the 14th Amendment violation. Because you should, their law says you have the right to vote on a paper ballot, and they didn't have any paper ballots. So what's going on? I mean, you know, I think that's a big lawsuit right there.
Yep. The problem is with the lawsuits, then they don't even look at the merits of the case. They just simply say, you don't have standing, or whatever they want to say to toss it out and never even look at the evidence or the merits of the case. That's what happened to Sidney Powell. She never even got her information. All they did was say, look, we're going to have the bar disbar you. We're going to go ahead and go after you for you become a vexatious attorney to the process here. And we're not even going to we're not even going to consider what you have to say. We're just simply going to go after you and your law license and everything else.
They did disbar Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, they did bar.
All right,
they disbarred Rudy Giuliani, ladies and gentlemen. And that's a big problem, this bar thing. This thing where they just want to basically act like the bar decides whether you can be an attorney, whether you can practice law or not. It's a disaster. I don't even know what to say about it. But again, they're playing games. They're not looking at the merits. They're attacking individuals who stand up against these shenanigans. In Illinois, it's illegal not to provide a paper ballot if somebody requests one. How come they don't have enough? Well, because no one's been requesting them, right? They've gotten away with it for so long. Quick pause. The interview continues in seconds on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. It is frightening what goes on in elections these days, right? I mean, in my opinion, it's just shocking of the details. We've got so many people now analyzing elections, digging into the details, and man, we have the law being broken everywhere. So imagine this in Illinois. I want a paper ballot. The law says I can get one if I ask for it, but they don't have any. Now what? Well, you can say that's not election fraud. That's fine. You could say it was an oversight. People haven't been requesting ballots, and so we didn't print enough. We don't have them. But the problem becomes, hey, if you don't have paper ballots and people request them and they can't get them, and that's the law, then the law's been violated. Well, if the law's been violated, is that election fraud or is that just breaking the law? And the next question becomes, if you're just breaking the law but it's not really election fraud, what happens if there becomes a count necessary? Now you don't give people, you know, physical paper copies of their ballots, but yet we're counting ballots, but nobody can prove the details of their ballot and how they voted, right? See, it becomes messy very, very, very quickly. And what the mainstream might say is, well, there's not really fraud or negative intent here. You can't prove fraud. Fraud's a very high bar of proof. I get it. But then when we bring up concerns about this, election concerns, whether we call it election fraud, vote fraud, campaign fraud, whether we say it's not fraud at all, it's oversight, or it's breaking the law, or it's whatever. We're not here to debate terms or debate details. We're here to simply say we need to absolutely laser-like focus, investigate all elections. And if there's anomalies or problems or law-breaking or anything, we need to fix it. That's what we're saying. All right, the interview with Roger continues.
Right. So, again, go back to the cases. There were 89 major election fraud cases. Only three of those were Donald Trump or his campaign. Okay. And actually, a couple of those did get heard, but they weren't evidentiary cases. They were process cases.
And yeah, which means we're not going to deliver the facts. We're going to basically play games with the process and dismiss it on missteps or whatever you want to say.
And there was
never dealing with the real issues of the case.
There was only one case. It was here in Carson City, and it was they presented evidence, clean evidence of 40,000 people voting twice, and the judge said, "Well, you don't know their names." So he dismissed the evidence. That also had evidence of the...
But we need to get their names. The problem is, once they go into the machines, once they're separated from the envelope that sent them in or otherwise, you can't trace back where they came from at all.
Well, this is not... in this particular instance, I've been trying to get a hold of their data so that I could find them. Because The way they found those 40,000 was with a combination of it was data analysis. They analyzed driver's license records, voter registration records, and change of address records. And they had actually connected it, and they had 40,000 of them. They hadn't been able to go through and connect them all together, so that you could say this person voted twice. I think I could do that now with...
But you can only do that if you can get all the records and the information and the data dump that you need to make that happen.
They had that. The problem was is that they had just gotten all that data and made the first pass, gave them the 40,000 number, and that was on a Monday, and they had to have this evidence together for court on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So they didn't have time to put together all the details.
Which wasn't intentional that they marched the time frame.
They worked the
discovery process was violated. Overall, due process for all Americans was violated that day.
Yeah, but that was the only one case that actually evidence was presented, and it was also dismissed.
All right. So at the end of the day, then, what do you recommend we do? I know you're saying, hey, paper ballots and all that kind of stuff. That's going to be very hard to get done. I'm not saying it can't get done, and I'm not saying we shouldn't push for it. I'm just saying... what do you think we do, though? Is this something that you're going to pursue and that we should keep an eye on?
We are already looking at the data from primaries that have gone by already. There's been a big effort to analyze the data after the primary here in Nevada, and I think you'll hear some news on that very shortly. I was working with Bobby Payton running for the Senate in Illinois. They had seven people in the Senate race, and it doesn't fit right, and we've already done some data analysis. All the vote counts for all seven are completely correlated.
Yes,
through times there's 99.99% plus correlation, and that couldn't happen if it was a random occurrence. You just couldn't possibly have, you know, Kathy Salvey perfectly in lockstep with Bobby Payton and these. So they pick different pairs of candidates to flip votes for in different counties and different precincts to produce the correct result that they desired. But this is also the thing to note here is this is the GOP doing it in their primary. It's not just the Democrats.
I know it. It's all of them. It's the deep state against the rest of us.
Uniparty.
And the real question is, where does it trace? Does it trace all the way up to the United States federal government, general government? Does it trace internationally? Where does it go?
Well,
the CCP, Chinese Party.
The other one of the other aspects of this is that in October 2019, the Communist Chinese Party bought two thirds of Dominion voting systems for $400 million through UBS Financial.
How convenient!
And then in Georgia, shortly right about the same time in Georgia. Brian Kemp and Brad Raffensperger bought all new Dominion voting systems in October.
Yeah, shame on Kemp.
And Kemp, before he was governor, he was the Secretary of State. His chief of staff, when he was Secretary of State, became the head lobbyist for Dominion voting systems.
Yeah, you got cover up Kemp at the helm in Georgia.
Right.
Now attacking Greg Phillips. Etc., or at least standing by while the Election Commission of Georgia does that, etc.
Right.
What a shame. All right, at the end of the day, we're about out of time, but Roger, do you believe we'll get to the bottom of this and heads will start to roll, or do you believe that they have such control, such manipulation, such absolute control of the media, the election machines, the whole process to where they can pull off this coup and get away with it. What do you think at the end of the day will happen?
I think they're going to try and rig everything.
But do you think we've got their number? Will we stop them or will they win?
I don't see anything being stopped yet. As again, I said, here in Nevada, there was a whole lot of shenanigans in their primary. And like I said, hopefully you'll see some news on that soon.
But so nationwide, you don't think we'll stop it?
I think the only way to stop it is for people to wake up and realize and just not put up with it anymore. We have to not put up with it anymore. We have to take back control of our elections and demand that we do things with paper ballots in one day, and not let our state governments change the laws so that they can never be defeated.
Amen. Thank you, Roger. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Roger Fuller. Oh, wow. It's up to you. Are we getting to the bottom of it, ladies and gentlemen? If the people get incensed, we might, but our greater numbers will have to make this success, or else they've got our number right now. I'll tell you that right now. The battle's on. The culture war continues, and so does the election fraud battle. We continue to update every day as this unfolds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
All right, election fraud, ladies and gentlemen, is one huge issue that we're keeping an eye on. Election fraud, voter fraud, campaign fraud. I mean, it just seems to never end. And every issue seems to not be in and of itself as big of a deal as you might think. But yet when you dig in, you find out that all these things together end up manipulating elections, folks. So how do we beat the rig? It's going to take we the people getting involved. Big time. Speaking of we, the people getting involved, the American people have been really concerned about Hunter Biden. That's Joe Biden's son for quite some time. He got caught with a prostitute. He got caught lying and saying he didn't get a woman pregnant, but then she had a baby and proved it was his with DNA. We just go on and on with the scandals. Now he's in bed with Chinese companies, and he did something, many things very bad, but nobody's been able to get him on anything. For some reason, when it comes to Joe, they just bury the evidence and say it's not tied to Joe. Well, now we find out more and more and more evidence that it is tied to Joe Biden. Turns out when Joe Biden was vice president in the White House, he literally entertained many of Hunter Biden's, quote, business associates. Where would Hunter Biden get these kind of business associates in the first place? Well, his relationship to his father, Joe, is the most likely reality check. However, now experts are saying that Hunter Biden's failure to register as a, quote, foreign agent could mean prison. Breitbart writing this. So the question for all of you is, do you think that Hunter's going to prison? See, I think that it's wishful thinking. I think we need to keep the pressure and hope it's true. But it's kind of like how Donald was going to lock up Hillary. Never happened, even though she's guilty of all kinds of crimes. Quote, email server in her basement, for example, to make the point, illegal as all get out when it comes to email correspondence and more. And now you've got Hunter Biden literally failing to file as a foreign agent. Literally ties to all kinds of international companies with communist agendas, et cetera. And then it turns out that they lie and say, well, hey, Joe wasn't involved. And then it turns out that Joe entertained many of these people at the White House when he was vice president. Now we're connecting all the dots and the evidence is there. But, hey, it's a day late and a dollar short. They buried it before the election. So the American people weren't incensed enough to do much about it. Now the evidence is coming out, quote, 2 years into his term plus, right? Now, what do you have to say for yourselves, ladies and gentlemen? They went after Donald Trump for saying he had Russian ties. Turned out to be a complete bogus narrative funded by Hillary and crew. Joe was probably disappointed that he didn't lock her up, right? But that's kind of what we're talking about here, this scenario where Joe does nothing, Hillary does nothing that can get them in trouble, right? No matter what they do, they're not in trouble. Hunter, right now. Teflon, untouchable. What do you say about that, huh? We better crank up the pressure and create accountability for these clowns before the 2022 or the 2024 elections. Or, man, they're going to stick a nail in the coffin, I'm afraid, folks. Hour one of the can. Hour two coming up. I'm Sam Bushman on the road. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips as always. We declare this nation shall endure. We, the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, can and will restore the greatest country on the face of the earth. Will you turn to God? Will you promote family and country? Will you help us? We sure hope so. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. We need your financial support, please. And God save the Republic.